This is Jordan Seculo. Today on Jay Seculo Live, the president pressures U.S. senators on health care and new revelations from the president himself about Comey's behavior.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
Welcome to Jay Seculo Live. There is plenty to talk about today on the broadcast, which we appreciate you joining us. If you want to give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. First, let me say, we should all be in prayer for Senator John McCain. Regardless of where you are on the political spectrum, after having that blood clot removed, they found a brain tumor and brain cancer. I believe he's had that operated on now as well. There is a question about, obviously, return would be not as soon likely as it would be if it was just a blood clot issue. So that has changed the dynamics in Washington, D.C. on the vote. But Than Bennett, our government affairs director, I just got off the phone with him. Than, even if Senator McCain is not able to make it back to Washington, D.C., and that's a question mark. It's not to say it's impossible that a week from now or 2 weeks from now he would be able to do that. He's a strong guy and a fighter to cast these votes. That even if he is not, in the near future, basically until reconciliation's over through August, can get back to D.C. because of the seriousness of his condition, which we're all praying for, that this vote will still move forward.
That's right. Well, in fact, John McCain tweeted out that he is going to be returning soon. We don't know what soon means, but yes, Jordan, next week the Senate still plans to have that vote on the motion to proceed, and people might be wondering how is that possible without John McCain. Well, again, let's reiterate what we said yesterday on this broadcast. The first vote is a motion to proceed, so if that passes, the Senate then opens debate on it. Jordan, they could be debating that for a period of several days or even a week, and then they would wait for his return to actually pass final passage. So the motion to proceed to get on the health care bill, the plan is still for that to happen next week.
All right, folks, so we still have got to be pressuring. As the President of the United States, you know, if he is taking the time to sit down at the table with these members of Congress, as he did, with people like Senator Heller, who's been a wavering potential no vote on repeal, who already had voted yes to repeal, and people like Senator Capito, who I think we're sitting, Than, right next to. She was sitting right next to Senator Heller. And we've got Murkowski as well, Moran, and Portman. These are all individuals who have already adopted the exact repeal language we're talking about being put forward as an amendment. Now, at least you have two of them saying they can't do it, Murkowski and Capito. Interesting that they can cast those political votes. Capito, we were running yesterday, we'll run it again, had campaign ads going out about this very issue and about her vote on health care. So we want to get into this, 1-800-684-3110. But we can't ignore, the president did a big interview with the New York Times, actually, and a new revelation about Jim Comey. Now, this is interesting. We all know about this phony dossier, right, put together by Fusion GPS, supposedly with the help of the Russians. Interesting that the other side was using help from the Russians to make phony documents. But that Mr. Comey, in his first meeting with President Trump's two weeks before his inauguration, during the transition, Jim Comey took the president aside and told him about this dossier, which is completely false. It's been proven to be totally inaccurate, just made up by Fusion GPS, that had been assembled by this so-called former British spy. That's Chris Steele, the Steele dossier. And it just had salacious allegations about President Trump. And again, things I'm not going to get into here. And that President Trump said he believed that kind of attempted a power move by Comey, bringing him aside. I don't want to embarrass you in front of the other intelligence officials and saying, we do have this document about you. It says all these horrible things. Now, remember, this is 2 weeks before the inauguration. And Comey is already trying to do what I said on Twitter last night, play kind of like a Hoover type. Like, oh, I've got tapes. I've got information. Except for Comey had a fake dossier, and he got called out on it by finally getting fired. We'll talk about that as well. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. We are taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Our first focus of today's broadcast, we will get into President Trump's interview with the New York Times. So I think it's important because the president spoke on directly the Comey matter, Comey with the document, with the dossier, and this kind of Hoover-esque move. And for me, you know, they started off because of Comey on the wrong foot. And it was Comey who kept saying, I don't like being one-on-one with the president. Yet he started that pattern, it appears. It appears that he was the one who started doing these pull aside, one-on-one, I don't want to embarrass you. That's classic, right? That's such a classic power move. I don't want to embarrass you in front of everybody, but I've got this about you. All right. And then he continues on for a few more months. He gets, you know, sworn into office 2 weeks later, continues on. At this point in time, remember, folks, groups like the ACLJ, and we didn't know this information, had already called on Comey to be fired, impeached. I mean, that he had really violated his duties as FBI director with the way in which he handled the entire investigation for the Clintons, the IRS targeting. I mean, all of that, because his FBI agents were involved in that. But it got worse and worse and worse. It seems that it got no better at all. So I do want to take phone calls on that, but healthcare really is a focus right now. And I think we're making an impact, folks. All those news alerts yesterday, oh, it's dead. And the day before, oh, it's dead. Except for yesterday, here's the President of the United States having lunch with GOP senators. And he was sitting right next to Senator Dean Heller, one of the people on our call list. I've been putting it on Facebook and Twitter. He's from Nevada. Take a listen. This is the President of the United States eating lunch with these senators, Bite 18.
I've been here just 6 months. I'm ready to act. I have pen in hand, believe me. I'm sitting in that office. I have pen in hand. You never had that before. You know, for 7 years, you had an easy route. We'll repeal, we'll replace, and he's never going to sign it. But I'm signing it. So it's a little bit different.
Yeah, a little bit different. And that makes it, again, he even went after Heller a little bit during the lunch in a nice way, jovial way. They were laughing about it. But folks, I just want to give that number to you because, again, yeah, we have breaks during the broadcast. If you're listening to our radio show and not joining us on Facebook or Periscope, if you want to call one of these senators, and I encourage you to do so, and now more than ever, I think that because this vote, it appears, is coming right to the floor very soon. So you need to call these five senators who have already voted yes to repeal, like President Trump said, but it was easier for him I mean, it's sickening because it was a purely political vote. They voted yes for repeal when they knew that President Obama would veto it, so that it wasn't going anywhere. That included defunding of Planned Parenthood. But now they're saying they can't do what they gave floor speeches about. So call them. Here's Senator Dean Heller. You use the same number. It's the Capitol switchboard. So Senator Dean Heller of Nevada, Senator Capito of West Virginia, Senator Murkowski of Alaska, Senator Portman of Ohio, and Senator Moran of Kansas. The number that you call is 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Don't ever call us partisan, folks. Notice we're not giving out the phone numbers of Democrats here or liberals. These are supposedly Republicans, some who have even claimed to be conservative, if you can believe that. So give them a call, 202-224-3121. Let me go back to Than Bennett. Than, you do believe, I just want people to be clear, because I'm sure they saw, especially our folks who saw the news about Senator McCain, and we were obviously praying for him, and much more serious than just a blood clot, now a brain tumor, which is very serious and a much tougher battle, that even if he is not able to make it back to Washington, D.C., that this vote may actually proceed.
I do, Jordan. Senator McConnell has said as much, that they will take this vote on the motion to proceed. I actually confirmed it with Senator McConnell's office just this morning. And by the way, I'm glad you're giving out the phone number, but I would also encourage people to continue signing our petitions, because I am updating those offices that you're talking about on a regular basis about the number of people in their state that are signing. I updated all five of those offices this morning. And Jordan, I also want to reiterate, I think the president's message to these senators sitting right next to Senator Heller and Senator Capito was right on point. And it's this: look, your first opportunity is the same exact vote you already cast in 2015. That's the repeal half of this. And look, if that passes, both of you and every senator, by the way, has every right to then offer an amendment on a replacement package. And if 50 senators, Republican, Democrat, or otherwise, Jordan, would join on that replacement package, then it would be a repeal and replace. But the bottom line is, the first step that you have to take is to just cast the same exact vote that you did in 2015. I thought his message to them was pitch perfect. And Jordan, it echoed what your dad wrote about at ACLJ.org and at FoxNews.com, asking the question, was that vote in 2015 a campaign vote or was it a true vote? We're about to find out next week.
Folks, we want to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We've got someone who's calling in from Kansas, the home state of Senator Jerry Moran, one of the five we are asking people to call. Hannah, you called Senator Moran's office. Tell us what happened.
Yes. So I called and urged Senator Moran to support the BCRA, and also reminded him that he had voted to repeal in 2015. And the lady that I talked to said that the BCRA was different than what he had voted on in 2015, and that he would be voting to support next week. So my question is, is it the same thing or?
No. Well, see, there was the larger package, which had the replacement portion. So that may be where they said it. That's not the same thing. But what is being talked about now, the what they call repeal, and I say it's a repeal with an asterisk because, again, it's not like something I wouldn't support. It's just for those who say, oh, this is the full repeal, it really just zeroes things out. Everything stays on the books. You'd have to go back legislatively and do that through not through reconciliation. But here's the thing. They're telling you he's moving to a yes, Hannah. I think that they are referring directly, and Than, you could jump in as well. I think what that office, and that's good to know, this is why we appreciate people calling, is that he means he's moving to a yes on probably allowing it to move to the floor and probably on the vote that he already took, which is not different, which is, Than, the vote to zero everything out, call it repeal, call it what you'd like, but have a two-year transition period to then come up with a replacement.
Yeah, that portion of the answer is actually very significant, Jordan. I had not heard that publicly. So if what he's telling the constituent is accurate, that's significant news. I think it means that he will vote yes on the motion to proceed, which is to open debate. And again, as we've been saying, the first vote would be on an amendment on exactly, not the BCRA, on exactly what Senator Moran voted on in 2015, which is the repeal portion of this. Now, I would say to the caller and to anyone else that is calling, some of these offices have been a little bit tricky, saying, look, we don't want to approve the House bill. Well, Jordan, technically, for this to happen under reconciliation, the first thing they have to do is agree to proceed to that House bill. But again, it will be amended, and the first amendment will be the exact vote that these senators have already taken. So if that caller was told by Senator Moran he's voting yes on that amendment, that is a significant win, and it means we're one closer to passing this legislation.
Hey, Than, why don't I, maybe you've got an email that you can send over to someone in that office while we're on the air and say, hey, we just heard from a caller who called the office. They got this answer. We want to be, they want to be clear, make sure they're getting the right info. That what it appears to be is that Senator Moran is going to announce soon that he is for moving on the floor and would support the same vote that he took back in 2015. Is that correct, what your office is telling people? Because if it is, we could take him off the list then, and the phone calls don't have to keep flooding into his office.
Yeah, that's right. I'll follow up with them right now. I did update them this morning, Jordan, with the updated numbers, so there's a very good likelihood that that had an impact here, but I'll try to get clarity from them on what exactly they're committed to voting for.
See, folks, you're getting to listen to a little government affairs in action on Jay Sekulow Live. Not many radio broadcasts are really organizationally and government affairs backed with lawyers and people like Than in D.C. and his whole team who could do this, and we're not just talking about it. So we take that grassroots action, but we also have the policy side, and we can go right to the senators, even real time while we're speaking to you. So, Hannah, we really appreciate that phone call. Folks, we come back. We're going to take more of your calls on the healthcare-specific issue and get into the Comey issue as well later. Also, Rod Rosenstein, the deputy AG, who has come out very critical of how former FBI Director Comey, the fired FBI director, how he utilized that information, those memos that he took. I don't know. You can read the tea leaves kind of in Washington. The fact that he even spoke to it at all leads me to believe that it's something potentially being looked at. He would never admit that, rightfully so, that there was an investigation going on. But if he feels so strongly about it as a deputy AG, you would imagine that Comey there's at least an investigation ongoing there, and maybe more. There could be a grand jury. Those are secret as well. So we'll take calls on that and on healthcare. Healthcare is very important to all of us. This vote is extremely important to the American people. So we want you to, again, give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Remember, you can join us also online at Facebook and Periscope. You can actually come inside the studio with me. Our DC studio is almost done. Maybe we'll get a picture of that we can show people during the break who watch the show. Again, there's other ways you can take part in the broadcast. We'll have more ACLJ folks on later in the broadcast as well. And always go to our website. Lots of great information there about the executive order case and other cases we're working on at ACLJ.org.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Yesterday on the broadcast, we played to you some of Senator Shelley Moore Capito's, even a campaign ad. Right, Will? Didn't we play a campaign ad? Let's play that campaign ad. This is from the West Virginia Republican Senator Shelley Moore Capito. She voted for the health care repeal that would be up before the Senate very soon, as Than has said, and even campaigned on it. And now she's saying, she put on a press release, I can't do this in good conscience. But take a listen to her ad, what she told her constituents to, and why to vote for her.
With Obamacare, we're losing our choice of doctors, a higher deductible, a higher premium. That inhibits our choice, and those are things that West Virginians hold dear.
Shelley Moore Capito supports having your health insurance cover pre-existing illnesses and be portable from job to job.
Healthcare is going to get more expensive. It's going to be more costly for small businesses. This administration has put a big damper on our way of life and our love of freedom. I'm Shelley Moore Capito, and I approve this message.
And then we even have her floor speech, which we played for some of our Facebook and Periscope audience. And our Facebook and Periscope audience, let me encourage you, share this with your friends and family, because I don't think in many outlets you're getting the breakdown like this of the really the senators who are the roadblock to getting Obamacare repealed. So we've also got Capito on the floor of the U.S. Senate. She could be giving this speech right now about the vote she's now saying she won't take or will vote no on, because it's the exact same language. But now she's decided to take a contradictory approach. Take a listen.
By repealing Obamacare, we can revisit the problems caused by the health care law and the problems that existed before, replace them with reforms that work, and protect those whose coverage has been disrupted. In order to ensure individuals do not lose access to current coverage, this Obamacare repeal bill will provide a two-year transition period. This period will give us time to enact alternative reforms that will provide access to quality, affordable care without disrupting coverage.
Sounds great, but you can't do that now because it would actually get signed into law, Shelley Moore Capito. That's unacceptable. So call our office. Here's the number, 202-224-3121. And all you're saying is, Senator Capito should vote the same way she voted December 2015 to repeal Obamacare and have that two-year transition. They will understand what you mean if you just say that. Senator Capito should vote yes on repeal like she did in 2015, okay? Like she did in 2015, which allows for that two-year transition to come up with a replacement. She's already voted for it. Yes, here's the number you call, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121, 202-224-3121. You asked for Senator Capito of West Virginia for her office. And we'll focus on some others as well later, but you know, take them one at a time. Andy Economo is a senior attorney with the ACLJ, is in the studio with me now. Andy, we are going to continue talking about health care, but there's also some news about Comey. The president did a sit-down interview or a long interview with the New York Times. I don't know if they were face-to-face or by phone, but a pretty wide-ranging interview. He was asked, by the way, a lot of people have said, and this has actually been clarified, why didn't he talk about healthcare more, this or that? He was actually responding to questions. So this is what the New York Times wanted to write about. They wanted to write about Comey also and Russia and these situations. Well, in this, we hear that something new, that in the 2 weeks before his inauguration, the president met with all of the intelligence officials, including the then FBI director, Jim Comey. And that Mr. Comey, after that meeting, pulled Mr. Trump aside, told him about a dossier that had been assembled by a former British spy. Now we know that was through Fusion GPS and potentially the Russians. That's the Steele dossier, with salacious allegations against the incoming president, including, I'm not even going to get into it, the escapades, even though the FBI has never been able to corroborate any of these assertions in the dossier. Now, he didn't tell the president that. Mr. Trump said, Andy, that he believed Mr. Comey told him about the dossier to implicitly make clear he had something to hold over the president. In my opinion, he shared it, so I would think he had it out there as leverage. Yeah, I think so, in retrospect, especially. And so, again, when he brought him, in the president's own word, made up junk, I just thought about, man, this is such a phony deal coming from someone like Mr. Comey. And Andy, this is the kind of classic FBI director move, like a Hoover move, except for with Hoover may have actually had the tapes or the information on you. Comey had a fake dossier, and he gets called out on it. He had a God complex, obviously, as FBI director. I think that's fair to say. But he finally got called out on it and fired. And I think this just adds to the list of the many reasons why this FBI director should go.
Thank you,
New York Times.
Yes. Thank you, New York Times, for putting this forward. But again, this shows this is not a gesture that James Comey should have attempted. This is a gesture that this is in the classic style of J. Edgar Hoover, who was director of the FBI for nearly 40 years, was able to turn and pull off pretty good because Hoover had the goods on the people that he would do this to. And there's no doubt that he did do this. And we know this by reading histories of the FBI. But Comey, who is a pitiful specimen in terms of his ability to get anything done, and in my view, trying to subvert the president by holding the dossier over his head, is a perfect example of what the president, in my view, should have done at that moment. And that is to say to him, you're fired right now. I don't even want to talk to you anymore. Get out of here and get out of my office and get out of my administration.
Yeah, I mean, it's and again, now, and then we add on to that, and I want to get this into our first half hour. The Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein asked about Comey's leak. Now, he can't get into investigative details. I understand that. I appreciate that. I mean, I wish Comey and others, they actually operate in the way they're supposed to. But he was asked by Martha McCallum about the way this information was leaked by the FBI director. Take a listen. It's by 27.
Just in general, do you think it would it ever be proper for an FBI director to make notes of a conversation in that regard and leak them to the press? Would that ever be proper?
Those are two different issues. As a general proposition, you have to understand the Department of Justice, we take confidentiality seriously. And so when we have memoranda about our ongoing matters, we have an obligation to keep that confidential.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably as much as you're going to get, but that's wrong. Okay, he's just said, no, of course not. You can't go around sharing your memos with the president and memorandum that you made with your FBI computer and your FBI car and stored in your FBI desk or FBI hard drive. And by the way, four of the seven are to contain even information that would be considered classified. You certainly can't then take it out yourself. That's part one. Then give it to a friend, a law professor, who then gives it to a newspaper. We are getting questions about healthcare. Let me finish in this first half hour. The first half hour is coming to a close. Let me just say, do these calls into their offices actually help? They keep tallies of calls. So how many people are calling their office saying, do this, vote yes on repeal? How many are voting no? And let me tell you something. You're up against groups like Planned Parenthood, who may not say that when they call, who are having people call their offices and saying vote no. So they keep tallies of the yeses and the noes. That's how important those calls are. And we just got a call in from Beverly on Facebook. Said she just called Senator Portman's office, left a message for him along with her name and number. If you're calling the switchboard, you should get someone to be able to pick up the phone unless they are that busy. Sometimes the phone lines get jammed. But try to call and get on with a staff member. They are the ones who are keeping tally. We'll talk about more about that when we come back from the break. Healthcare, Comey, the leaking of the memos, the dossier, but especially healthcare. It affects all of us. Give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back here on Jay Sekulow Live.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org.
Jim Comey did a bad Hoover impersonation, and instead of serving, 37 years as FBI director, he served, was it three? Three and a half, maybe? He couldn't even finish out his term because he's bad. I mean, he was no good at his job, whether you were Hillary Clinton and a Democrat saying you'd lost confidence in him, whether you are a Republican who is upset at the way he treated even the incumbent President Trump before he even took the oath. He was doing, Andy, let me go back to this. Because Comey made such a big deal about these one-on-ones. What appears is that with this first meeting and the pull aside, he actually began the idea of the one-on-one meeting between him and the president.
Which he set
the precedent for, and he said it was so horrible later on.
Yeah, so he criticized the president because he said he felt uncomfortable and mildly nauseous or any other way that he felt when he was with the president. He was scared. Here's a 6'8" tall person who's been in law enforcement all his life, and he went into the president of the United States' office, and he felt scared and intimidated with a one-on-one and told somebody, I don't remember who he told, was it Jeff Sessions?
Supposedly.
That he didn't want to be left alone with the president.
Yeah.
Yet, of course, when he wants to drop this dossier on him, he didn't mind pulling him aside and telling him, I've got some information on you. So it was a very, very bad J. Edgar Hoover impersonation and one that failed. But it just shows the lack of credibility of anything that has to do with James Comey. He is now joins the list of the most discredited citizens of the United States, I think.
Yeah, I mean, it's a big deal. And I think for everybody to understand the significance here of what's happening in this investigation. Now, we also have got reports, and I'll make it clear, I don't want to get into too much of the back and forth, but there's a report, and I always asterisk these two because I don't think they are attributed to anyone, that, last night the president said that he does not believe that Mueller's role is to investigate his entire business and all of his business practices or, his children's business practices, but that it's the Russia issue. And he said that, the Russia issue, and there's no issue with that, but it should stick on Russia. Well, right after that, we get a news report this morning that Mueller's team is supposedly expanding their investigation broadly, or at least what they might investigate. They do these pre-investigation things into the entire Trump business apparatus. Andy, just very quickly, so he's been a prosecutor in these situations, and in the case of a special counsel as well, they have a mandate. His mandate was Russia-focused.
That's right.
To start saying that anything that President-elect Trump did while he's a businessman, even with Russia 15 years ago, would not seem to be anything that would be in the scope of the investigation for election issues in 2016.
No, this is an indicator that we've got to be very careful. Mueller, as a special counsel, has a special obligation to investigate that which was given in his brief. In other words, this is what you do, and this is the parameters of what you do. Now Mueller, it seems, based on the report that I got, I think it was from Bloomberg, saying that he is now going to look at all of Trump's business associations with Russia and with everywhere else, is to me a recipe for a head-on collision with the president. And in that head-on collision with the president is ultimately going to win that.
All right, folks, we are going to continue to take phone calls. When we come back from the break, we'll get into healthcare as well, 1-800-684-3110. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, and I'm saying this on the whole radio broadcast, click share. Share this with your friends and family because we're getting into two issues, one of which I don't think is probably getting the kind of coverage at all, which is on the healthcare issue of really where the fight is amongst these five Republicans. Okay, we're not beating up on the Democrats. The Republicans that need a lot of pressure from their constituents. So share this with your friends and family. If you're watching on Facebook and Periscope, click that share button now. Bring more people in to the conversation. When we come back, we'll get into more healthcare updates with Than. I know a lot of people have questions in light of what's happened with Senator McCain. We'll take more of your phone calls. And during the break, we'll answer some of your questions that have come in through Facebook and Periscope. But give us a call, 1-800-684-3110. Always go to aclj.org. We've got information about case victory on the Tea Party and the IRS targeting, a new case we filed against the NSA. There's a lot of great information there. The executive order out of the Supreme Court, that case on the travel issue, all there at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be double. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support. It's a fact. Radical jihadists have one goal: complete and utter global domination. Hundreds of lives have been lost in devastating jihadist attacks, from Paris to San Bernardino, Brussels to Orlando. Islamic terrorist attacks are increasingly occurring at an alarming rate. In his number one New York Times bestselling book, Rise of ISIS, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow pulled back the curtain on a new unholy alliance of Iranians, Russians, and jihadists waging war against the United States and our very way of life. Now in his new book, Unholy Alliance, Jay reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. Get Jay Sekulow's new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World. It's available now. Available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also order it right now online at unholyalliancebook.com.
All right, welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. We got a lot of folks who've been calling in. I do want to, so we're going to get back to healthcare because most of the calls are on that situation. So, but I do want to take the Comey call, who's been holding on in Rosenstein first, because, and then we can get right back to healthcare for now. Dave in Idaho on line five. Dave, thanks for holding on. Let's get Dave if he stays. Dave, don't hang up after your comment or question. We'll get you a book signed. Appreciate you holding.
Oh, no. Okay, thanks. Hi, Jordan. So, really quick, you know, if a company owner or boss fires his employee and the manager says, okay, the boss fired employee, I'm going to go out and hire his best friend. You know, to me, that's a slap in the face to the boss. And my point is that I think you don't start out on the wrong foot with an obvious conflict of interest. I believe Rosenstein needs to be fired. I see it as he acted as a deep state actor, and I just see his scrutiny of Comey to just be, in my view, to appear unbiased. And I think he's, you know, or not, you know, it's political. I think what he's doing with that letter to of recommendation, I thought my sense was when he did that after he knew Comey was, you know, going to be fired, again, was just to appear unbiased. So I think, you know, that's not the way you start out.
No, I mean, I think there's a lot of questions here on how the Department of Justice started out with all this and how we got there. I don't think we have to litigate all of that right now. Much of that is up to the President of the United States. If, you know, if he has confidence in these folks and that you can get that from whether or not they are serving today, then he's made that decision. So if you like this president, you may not like all the actors around it. He sometimes expresses his displeasure. That's kind of him, though. I mean, he's not someone who ever is held back. He did that during the campaign about campaign staff and strategy, and, you know, it's no different that he would do that about high-ranking government officials either. So he's mentioned some of those issues. But I think that Rosenstein right now has helped significantly on the Comey matter specifically because he talked about, I don't have to play it again, but in his interview with Martha McCallum on Fox News, he talked about the obligation to keep these memos confidential. He didn't want to use the word classified because that's only some of the memos, and they're admitting, and they don't like to even acknowledge that on the record that classified information was out. But obligations, Andy, as an attorney, you start talking about serious words that mean, these are words that mean something.
Well, I think Rosenstein is a pretty calculated person in terms of what he says and how he articulates things. You can just look, tell by looking at him and listening to him that he measures his words very carefully. And when he says something, he thinks about it very cautiously before he enunciates it. And when he says we have an obligation as attorneys and in the Department of Justice to maintain the confidentiality, what he is saying is, in a very mild way, with a gloved hand, unlike some others would do, that what Comey did was absolutely wrong. That's not the way we do things in the Department of Justice. We don't take memoranda, as you have said, that have been created after a meeting with the president by the director of the FBI on government equipment in a government car, the government vehicle, on a government computer, and then leak that information because you want to achieve a goal of getting a special counsel appointed. But this is the approach that Comey took all along. When he usurped the function of Loretta Lynch,
yeah,
and determined that he was going to end the investigation of Hillary Clinton because there was no prosecutable crime, and we've said, who are you? You're not a prosecutor. You're the director of the FBI. He overstepped his bounds time and time again, and I think he did it here. And Rosenstein, in his very measured and calm way, called him out on it.
Yeah, I'm going to get more phone calls on this, 1-800-684-3110, but also back to the healthcare issue as well. We're covering both. And we've got another person. I think this is so important, folks. It's showing the grassroots impact right here. Dennis calling in from Kansas. I believe he called his Kansas senator, Senator Moran, as well. Dennis, you're on the air.
Thank you for taking my call. Yes, and thank you for your ministry to report the news and truth.
Thank you.
I did call Jerry Moran's office on Tuesday and Wednesday. I talked to a lady on Tuesday, and I talked to Jim on Wednesday and told him of my disgust with Jerry Moran's flip-flopping. And he also did confirm that Jerry Moran intends to vote yes to confirm his vote of 2015. To vote the same way. So I got that same information as earlier caller.
Hey, well, that is great news, Dennis. I mean, I think until we have that on the record from the senator, which he could easily do with a press statement, when we get that on the record, then we'll keep looking for it. We'll push them to put it out there. We could take him off the list of people to call. Right now, that list is Senator Dean Heller of Nevada, who President Trump sat next to at lunch yesterday. Let's play that for everybody, by the way. That's pretty funny. When he was seeing, this is when he's sitting next to Senator Heller of Nevada, who has been a real problem on this issue.
I was very surprised when I heard a couple of my friends, they really were and are. They might not be very much longer, but that's okay. This was the one we were worried about. You weren't there, but you're going to be. You're going to be there. Look, he wants to remain a senator, doesn't he?
And listen, the president has considerable political weight as well in these midterm elections.
Yes, he does.
So he is not afraid to show it right there. And I appreciate you again, folks, making those phone calls. We need calls into Senator Heller's office, Senator Capito's office, Senator Murkowski, Portman, and Moran, especially if you live in those states, Nevada, West Virginia, Alaska, Ohio, Kansas. You call 202-224-3121. We're not going to fight this sitting down or act like this is over until you fight until the end. And when you're really down to just, let's say Moran, maybe these callers, hopefully these callers are correct. I hope they are correct. That if you're down to just a handful, you certainly keep fighting. You keep fighting. 202-224-3121. We've even got a call in from West Virginia. See, folks, how this makes a difference. And this, Charlie got an interesting response. Charlie, you called Senator Capito's office. What did they say or what happened?
Yes, sir. I did, after listening to you all talk yesterday about how to contact them and the things to say and what they did, and listening to the different instances where they approved of this stuff. And I sent an email to Senator Capito listing all of these things, and I also made a call into her office. I gave her, I think 24 hours so far. I have not heard back on the email, and I have not heard back on the call, even though I was promised a call back.
I encourage you, Charlie, try it a couple times. Most of us have cell plans that make this pretty easy. Make sure you're calling this number, 202-224-3121. I'll tell you that in the email world, I have no idea their response time there. I have a feeling it could be pretty slow, depending on, you know, if it's just if you're commenting on legislation versus an emergency kind of need. Though you could say that healthcare is an emergency for all of us. But I would make sure you're calling 202-224-3121. Their phone lines sometimes get jammed, but they have systems that are able to kind of take many calls at one time. So, hey, everybody call Senator Capito right now. Okay? Listening right now. We go into a break in 2 minutes. It gives you plenty of time to do it. So call 202-224-3121. I think she's one of the more egregious on this because she campaigned on it. In fact, we have another one, right? We have Lisa Murkowski. Will also was giving a floor speech about her vote to repeal Obamacare when she knew President Obama would veto it, but how important it was then. And now she says she's a no. This is another one we got to focus on. Take a listen to her.
A family of three in Ketchikan. They're going to be paying almost $2,000 a month next year for one of the cheapest bronze plans available. They're not going to see any benefit until they have spent just about $35,000. Now you contrast that $2,000 per month for health insurance with their mortgage payment of $1,250. Does this seem right to anyone? It should not cost more to provide health care coverage for your family than to own your home. And that's why I support the bill that repeals the ACA.
That was fine for her, Than, in 2015. Let me get Than and Andy's reaction. But now she's issuing press statements saying, I just can't do it. It has the same two-year transition. I mean, they were out there on the floor, but they knew President Obama would veto it. They could use it for their campaigning. Yeah. And no one could ever call them out for it as being, even though these are some of the moderates, they were willing to do it then when it didn't matter. But as my dad wrote in a Fox News op-ed and even in a tweet that went pretty far and wide, political and campaign votes versus actual votes. Than, your reaction after hearing that from Murkowski.
Well, she issued that speech on the floor of the Senate just moments before going down and actually casting a vote as a United States senator for it. But she knew it was going to be vetoed, Jordan. And the only difference was that she did not risk it becoming law. She told her constituents that was where she stood. And today, as it stands, it would be very easy for her to clear this up, Jordan. But as it stands, she has not committed to repeating that same vote now that it would become law.
You know, we only got 30 seconds. So I'll let Andy hold on to the next segment. We'll make him put his entire comment in that. I did get a good question I can answer very quickly. Michelle on Facebook said, can anyone call these senators or do you have to reside in their state? Well, listen, I think it has even more influence if you reside in their state. But even if you don't, you can certainly call because these are national leaders who put themselves out there to represent the nation. And this is an issue that affects all of us. So, yes, if you're from the state, you have that added bonus. Absolutely call. But if you're not, you can still make calls all through the list. 202-224-3121 to call them.
Imagine a global war on you, but your leaders refuse to acknowledge it. Imagine this denial resulting in hundreds of American deaths and a global genocide against Christians and other religious minorities. Imagine Russia, Iran, and jihadists around the world uniting to destroy us. This is the startling reality we now face. But it doesn't have to be this way. In his new book, Unholy Alliance, The Agenda Iran, Russia, and Jihadists Share for Conquering the World, ACLJ Chief Counsel Jay Sekulow reveals the latest in a centuries-long attempt to export Islamic Sharia law and radical jihad around the world. With detailed history, in-depth legal case studies, and expert interviews, this book reveals the historic problem and the pressing solution. Order a copy of Unholy Alliance today. It's available right now at Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and wherever books are sold. You can also get it online at unholyalliancebook.com. It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. At the ACLJ, we're engaging a number of vital issues. We're standing up in defense of life at the Supreme Court. We're challenging the Obama administration's shadow government in federal court. We're working with Congress to stop the flow of hundreds of millions of dollars a year in taxpayer funds to the abortion giant, Planned Parenthood. And we're working to replace Obamacare. The work of the ACLJ is vital, and we could not do it without your generous support. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at aclj.org. Thank you for your support.
Senator Dean Heller of Nevada getting called out by the president yesterday at lunch at the White House. He voted yes on the same language in 2015. We've played Senator Moore Capito, Shelley Moore Capito's both speech on the House, the Senate floor and campaign ad she ran. She also voted yes on the exact same legislative language to repeal Obamacare. It is with an asterisk. I saw this on Facebook. It's with an asterisk. It's not a complete repeal in the sense of it's gone forever. Statutorily, it's what we call zeroing out. Than just explain that to people briefly. It still exists on the books. It just is. It has no impact because it has no force behind it.
Right. Under the reconciliation process, Jordan, you cannot strike the statute from the law. You can just zero out the mandate, zero out the taxes, anything that has a budgetary impact. So the practical effect is that it is gone. But yes, you would have to come back later with 60 votes and remove it statutorily. The one thing I would add, though, Jordan, when we talk about this 2015 vote, you know what that was? That was a reconciliation measure that zeroed it out. So they cannot use that as a technical reason for switching their vote now. This is the exact same thing under the reconciliation process that they sent to President Obama less than 2 years ago, and he vetoed it.
We've played Capito, Murkowski, we've got Heller in there. Here is Rob Portman all the way back in 2013 talking about the importance of getting rid of Obamacare. Take a listen to this one.
I've heard from my constituents, I'm sure you've heard from yours. Overwhelmingly, to my colleagues, what I'm hearing is they don't want this law to continue. Do they think the health care system is perfect? No. But again, they think that what Obamacare is offering makes it worse, not better.
All right, let me go right to the phones. Our final segment of the broadcast today, we're going to get through as many as possible, especially those you've been holding on a long time. Chris, we'll start with you in North Carolina. And Chris, thank you for holding on. After your question or comment, stay on the line. We're going to get you a book. We appreciate you holding on.
Awesome. First, thanks so much, guys, for your work. You guys do a great job.
Thank you.
On this healthcare issue, obviously the voting and the flip-flopping is what's really infuriating. But something just as bad for me is something I want you guys to confirm and explain is that I've heard that the Senate and or the Congress have exempted themselves from Obamacare.
Yes, that was done under Obamacare. Under Obamacare, the Affordable Care Act did not apply to the House, the Senate. They got to keep their separate federal plans, which are much better, much cheaper, and covered. All right, it's great coverage. A lot of people in the federal workforce have that as well, but Congress made sure that they would keep it for themselves and their staffs. Than, that's changed, not to cut you off, Chris, but that has changed under what has been proposed by members of the House and Senate, at least long term. If you get to this two-year transition period, I think it would remain in place, but then after that, they would not have the coverage either.
Yeah, that's right. What passed out of the House, Jordan, if you look at the votes from that day, immediately following passage of the House bill, they passed a separate bill that would make sure that they are not exempt to it. And we have a promise from the Senate that they would do the same thing. I would just say this, though, Jordan, we do need to keep an eye on this because you know what has happened when the legislature has promised us things before. Whatever they pass, if it's a replacement for Obamacare, it needs to apply to them. They have made a promise that it would, but we need to keep an eye on it, make sure it does.
You know, in 2013, when Senator Portman's on the floor making that speech about how he's heard from all of his constituents, he better hear from more of his constituents. Because right now he is wavering and leaning no against the vote that he already voted yes on. So you need to call Senator Portman, especially if you're in Ohio, but anywhere in the country, call his office right now. Ask Senator Portman to vote yes on the repeal the same way he voted in December of 2015 with the two-year transition period. That's all you need to do. And you need to ask, is he planning on doing that? Why would he? And if they say they're not sure, why would he not vote for something he already did vote for? You can be polite if you'd like. That may be the way to start. The number is 202-224-3121 for all five of these senators. You just ask for the specific senator's office you'd like. And I think let's focus a little bit on Senator Portman from Ohio because he said he heard from all of his constituents. He needs to hear from them again right now. I'm glad this broadcast airs throughout the day, too. We're live on a number of stations. We're live on Facebook and Periscope. There's somewhere we get re-airs as well, replays. So the numbers, the calls, they probably keep coming in to those. And again, it's important if you're from Ohio, but you don't have to be from Ohio because these are national figures, folks. and an issue that affects every single one of us. This is not an Ohio-specific issue. 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. Back to the phones we go. Betty in Michigan on line two. This really upsets people, and it's why I keep taking the calls. Even though they may sound similar, it is the case. You start wondering why even these yes votes suddenly become leaning no. Hey, Betty.
Hi. My thing was just what you guys were talking about, so I wanted to, since you touched on it, I wanted to know, is it really true that there are things added into the bill that would benefit like the rich or things like that and would take away from the mental health issues?
No, I actually think in what's being proposed now is basically we're going to zero out Obamacare. It will still be on the books. So the repeal world, you can use that. It's fine. Just understand what it means, okay? Understand that it's not like it doesn't exist on the books. It's called zeroing out. In 2 years, that's what would happen. For 2 years, Affordable Care Act stays in place. Nothing changes for anybody. And so none of those issues affect it. Now, after 2 years, you would have to do a full replacement. I think it would be much easier because the Democrats would get on board and you could have a lot more cross-party action where it could be a makeup of Republicans and some Democrats who put forward legislation. Same thing in the House. So you'd have a more bipartisan look at healthcare, which is, I think, better for all of us. But through this repeal vote, nothing would change for 2 years because that would not be fair. You can't just repeal everything and then leave people sitting there with nothing. And that's not what this does. It gives it Congress 2 years to get healthcare through, and I think it actually makes it a lot easier for them. Another caller's been hanging on a long time, Raj in Virginia. Quickly, you are on the air.
Outstanding job. Your timing was perfect. The strategy is excellent. Thank you for all the names you've given us and the specifics on direct quotes from them and their actions on the House and the Senate floor. Now, about Susan Collins, we haven't heard much. Lisa Murkowski, we haven't heard much. And about Senator Richard Burr. And there's a two-for-one, because on the intelligence issues as well as the healthcare issues, I believe it would be very powerful if all our wonderful listeners and all the attention, thank you all, Andy especially, we'd like to hear from you more, that we emphasize these three, Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, and Richard Burr.
Yeah, and I think on Burr, you're talking about a separate issue, the intelligence issue. I don't think he's an issue on healthcare. And so I think Raj, and I know Andy appreciates that
yes,
call
thank
out
you,
right
Raj.
There. Thank you, Raj.
That was very nice.
Again, folks, I think where we need to focus in on, we only couldn't get to one call. They weren't on too long. But, David, we're sorry about that. And we thank you for calling Senator Heller's office. In fact, do we have time for David real quick? He could say, hey, David, you're on the air.
Hi. I called Senator Heller's Las Vegas office yesterday and urged him to vote to repeal Obamacare. That was done in December 2015. His assistant thanked me and said he would give the message to the senator. I'm a very active Republican volunteer in the Las Vegas area, have known Heller for 13 years, and made 25,000 phone calls for a Senate campaign in 2012.
Yeah, so they know who you are. You're a known entity to his team. I'd call his D.C. office, too. David, 202-224-3121. That's what I'm going to leave you all with today. Call these five senators, Senator Moran, Portman, Murkowski, Capito, and Heller. You just have to ask for them. You'll get their office if you call this number, 202-224-3121. That's 202-224-3121. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
It's a challenging time for our nation. Our values, our freedoms are under assault. That's why it's critical to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ Matching Challenge. If you make a gift now, it will be doubled. $25 becomes $50. A $100 gift becomes $200. Please stand with the American Center for Law and Justice right now and call 1-877-989-2255. Or you can go online at ACLJ.